thankful to be here also. It's always a wonderful day when we get to wake up and to enjoy the life that God has blessed us with. It's always a wonderful day when we have the opportunity to take the time aside to examine our lives. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is self-examination. Taking the time aside to look at oneself, to truly take the time and examine yourself, to look at what you have done, the decisions you make, and ask yourself, are you living right and ready to face your God? In James chapter 1, if you want to start off there with me, and starting in verse 21, James 1 and in verse 21, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Or if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, go away immediately, and forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so as you read through these verses here in James 1, it starts off telling us to put away sin. It tells us to put away all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And then it tells us in verse 22 to be doers of the word. And in doing so, we treat ourselves like one who gets up and looks in the mirror and immediately walks away. Now, do you remember what you looked like when you was in the mirror? Do you remember if your hair was done right, if you needed to come back and wash something off your face? Or did you forget? Because let me tell you, if you got kids at home and you're looking in the mirror for one second, you're like, all right, I need to do something. Then the kids are yelling and you leave the room. You totally forget that you need to go back and clean something off, or you had something else to do. You forget. But it reads here, it says, that's like reading the Word of God, reading the Bible. And as you read through the Word of God, and it talks about sin, it talks about the wickedness of this world, it talks about Satan and the temptations that he puts out into the world, and we say, wow, this is a lot of wrong, and look who ends up going to hell. And then we read about righteousness, and about God, and about the life that Jesus lived, and there's a lot of things I need to be striving for. But once we close our Bibles, and we walk away from it, do we remember it? Do we leave our worship service, leave Bible class, and say, I learned a lot of things, there were things in there that I need to work on myself, or there's some things I see there that I could use to help teach somebody else, and then we leave class, and we leave worship, and we forget all about it. We have to be willing to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, where are we today? Where do we stand in the sight of God? Are we ready for that day of judgment? We need to take the time aside to examine ourselves. And we can see that throughout the Word of God. If you open up your Bibles and start with me in Lamentations in chapter 3 and in verse 40. We see that time and again it tells us to examine ourselves. Even under the Old Testament, they needed to take the time aside to examine themselves, to see where they were, why they were caught up in this way. Why would God be punishing you? Why would you be rewarded for these things? Job, the whole book of Job, that's what he is doing. He's sitting there trying to question, everybody's questioning him. Is there anything I have done to deserve this? Or why would God allow this to take place? Or what has happened? In Lamentations chapter 3, and in verse 40, it says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us take the time aside to examine what it is we're doing compared to the law and turn back to Him. Let us take the time aside and say, does worshiping this idol line up with thou shalt have only one God? Has the way I've been treating my brothers and sisters and the Lord, my fellow Israelites, line up with what the law tells us in loving our neighbors and not coveting? Where do we stand? Do we take the time aside to examine ourselves? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 27, here Paul says, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. And so he says he disciplines his body. He tests it, and he puts himself at the test, and he makes sure he sees what he can and cannot do. Now he's speaking spiritually there, and we'll make that spiritual point here in a second. But as we think about that physically, when we go out and we practice running, or you go out and you work out and you do your thing at home, or if you play sports and you have practice, you are continuously disciplining your body. You're continuously striving to improve yourself. Our boys are in baseball right now, so we go out to the field by the school over here, right, basically in our backyard, and I've been going out there the last couple days, and we're throwing the ball, learning to catch it back, making good throws to one another. And then we take the time, I just practice eye coordination, hitting the ball. You know, they are disciplining themselves, learning to watch the ball, learning to lead with the hand. But they have to continue to make sure and ask, why did I miss that one? Why did I hit this one? What did I do that time that I didn't do this time? What did I do this time that I didn't do last time? And we examine ourselves to see whether or not we are doing things right. Seeing what it is we need to improve on. Seeing what it is we need to continue to do or what we need to stop doing. Same thing as we go through our life as followers of the Lord. We have to take the time aside to examine ourselves, to discipline ourselves, to study the Bible and read it. And as we read it, we study the life of Christ. Am I following in the footsteps of Christ? Am I Christ-like? If someone could start list the characteristics that you would say are Jesus's, that you would say are God's, would those characteristics line up for Brandon Hathaway? Would people say that I have the same characteristics of the Lord? Because that's who we're striving to be like. That's what we need to be doing, sitting there and asking ourselves. Or would someone say that I'm like the rich young ruler? Or would they say I'm like the person who's over here and judging the scribes and the Pharisees? Who do people compare you to? And better yet, as you take the time aside, who do you think you line up with? We have to take that time aside and examine ourselves. We just got done taking the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, this is an opportunity for us to examine ourselves. Because it reads here, as you start back in verse 17, and you read through about verse 22, it goes forth and telling them how they shouldn't be taking the Lord's Supper, how they've gathered for the wrong reasons, how they're not there for one another. And verse 23 through 26, they're referring to when Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper, what he meant it to be about. And so then you read further on in verse 28, it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Do we sit there and say, God, you sent your son down to die for me. Jesus, you went through torment and you shed your blood for me. Have I accepted this gift? Have I made a mockery of this gift? Have I repented of my sins, what this gift was for, and washing my sins away, and then tried my best, and I follow in his footsteps? Have I asked for his forgiveness? Have I repented of such actions? Or do I sit here and I take the Lord's Supper, the bread representing the body, the fruit of the vine representing the blood, and I take it in vain because I am not following in his footsteps. I have not put off sin. Or do we sit there and think, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I thank you for this sacrifice. Here's where I still need help. And follow me in your footsteps. And becoming more like you, willing to give myself for others. Did we examine ourselves? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. And in verse 5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? It says here, you know. You know whether or not you are in the Lord. If the Lord dwells within your heart. We take a step back and just look at the week that we've had. And ask yourselves, in the life that I lived this week was Lord shining through me. The actions that I had taken, the decisions I had made, the attitude that I had and reacted into other things that other people were doing, is that the way I see the Lord would have reacted in this situation? Is that the decisions He would have made in this situation? Again, getting back to those bracelets that people used to have, what would Jesus do? Do we examine ourselves and ask those questions? Do we take the time aside and truly examine our decisions, our actions, where we stand today? We're about halfway through this year. Already. Almost halfway through this year. Have we grown this year yet? Have we learned? Have we studied? What goals did we make spiritually at the beginning of the year, saying this is where I want to be? This is, are we working towards that goal? Did we start off the year into the point of we're going to do better, we're going to study more, we're going to pray more, we're going to learn more, we're going to reach out to others better, or we're going to be better at forgiving, or we're going to be, whatever it is. Where are we? Where do we stand? We need to take the time aside and ask ourselves, are we in the faith? Take the time and examine ourselves. Last week, done the lesson of why to do, looking at our desires and our points. Have we examined our heart? Did we take time aside after the lesson and say, where is my heart? What are my desires? Where do I truly want to be? In Matthew chapter 6, go ahead and read that again this week. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 19, it says, do not lay up yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Did we take time aside and say, what is my most valuable possession? What is the thing I desire the most? Where do I want to be the most? Did we take time to examine our hearts and ask what is our true desires? Where is it we truly are trying to get to? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 3, we can see that we need to examine our hearts. It's not always the actions that we have to look at. Because as we look here at this example in Revelation in chapter 2, and you start there in verse 3, and it reads here, or start up in verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Again, if it was just about works, we'd sit there and say, that person's in the Lord. That congregation is doing the work. That congregation tests other people. Verse 4 says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You have left your first love. They need to examine their heart. They need to examine why they do what they do. Again, we can get caught up. Example of the rich young ruler. Much like that one right there. As he comes to the Lord, Lord, what do I have to do in order to enter into heaven? Keep the commandments. Which ones? Obey your father and mother. Respect and do these good things. I've kept these from my youth. What do I need to do in order to be perfect? Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. Left away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His heart was on the money still. He wanted to prove himself. He had done some good things, right? He says, I've tithed. I've honored my parents. I don't covet my neighbors. But his heart was still focused on something else, on the possessions that he had had. He needed to examine his heart. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Matthew 7, verse 21, again here, it's not about just what we say and what we do. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, here they were saying, I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. Doesn't that count for anything? Why were they doing it? Were they doing it correctly? We do a lot of things in the name of the Lord, saying, I'm going to go do this in the name of God. But do we have scriptural authority? Do we have words through the Bible that says that it is okay to do it, that this is the way God wants you to do it? Our hearts have to be in the right place. We have to be willing to examine our hearts, have a self-check, and make sure that we are doing things right. And again, then we can come and ask about our actual actions. Again, we go to the point, yes, you were here Sunday, you filled up a pew, you went to class, but where was your heart? But at the same time, so many can get caught up in saying, I love God, and they can be a great person, they can be a very good moral person, and they're very kind, and they may give you the shirt off their own back, but then they won't do a thing to keep the words of God. They won't come into the building. They won't come to Bible class. They won't keep the commandments. Both have to be taken down. We have to keep His commandments and have the right attitude. Have the right heart. So what kind of fruits are we bearing? Are we going forth and teaching others? In James chapter 2 and verse 17. James chapter 2. Turn along with me here and look at verse 17. And says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe in God, show me. You're not going to work, you can't. It does no good to sit here and say, I believe in the Bible. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that we have to keep the commandments that He has given to you. All right, well, I'll see you Sunday. Oh, no, I don't have to come Sunday. Why not? The Bible tells us to come together. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus and that He died for us and that He forgave our sins. All right, let's get baptized today. I don't want to do that either. All right, forgive. Forgive your enemies. Forgive your neighbor. Forgive your brethren. Well, that's kind of hard to do. Do we believe in God? Do we say we truly love Him and we trust in the Word of God and that it will lead us to heaven? Well, then we have to keep His commandments. We have to show our faith in keeping His commandments. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 43. Luke chapter 6. And in verse 43, here says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Again, it comes down to our heart. And through our heart comes out our actions. We go back to James as we did last week and look and ask the questions, where do wars and fights come from? From our desires. From our hearts. Do we take the time aside to examine our heart? Not to have a physical one, go to a doctor and have them cut up you and check your heart. Yeah, it looks good. But where is your conscience? Does sin bother you? That's a good question to ask us. Does sin bother us? Because sin is just so out there. And to the world, it's just a funny thing. Swearing is just nothing. I mean, it is nothing to the world to go forth and curse and swear. It's just talking. I mean, truly it is. They put the euphemism in all the kids' shows and movies. And they go forth and push it a little further that they'll make funny videos. They make our funny videos of kids swearing and cursing and saying the same thing and doing these other things. And to them, it's a mockery. It's funny. It's part of life. But have we grown numb to feeling, oh, that's just part of life? Or do we still get upset about it? Again, you go just a few years back. How much did Brethren speak out against homosexuality? How much do you really hear about it today? How much do we actually sit there and speak out and say that it is wrong, that they shouldn't be doing it? Or are we just to that point finally, well, it's just part of life now. And we have to just get used to it. And there's nothing else. Sin is still sin, whether the world is fully accepting it or not. Has our heart grown hard to the point that we're not upset about sin? God gets angry when people sin. I mean, just study the Old Testament. When they sin, when they turn away from Him, it causes Him to be angry. You read throughout the Word of God, and it tells us He hates certain things. Why? Because it upsets Him. He hates to see us go in the wrong direction. He hates to see people lead other people in the wrong direction. Where's our heart? Does our heart line up with the Lord? Do we think we have that kind of attitude to be like Jesus when we see, if we see false teaching and false worship to the Lord, that we'd be willing to go and turn over tables and chase people out and say, this is not the way God meant it to be? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Again, here, time and again, it tells us things of, they will know you, right? We'll be known by our fruits, as we read there in Luke. We'll be known that we are our fathers. And here it's talking about love your enemies. Don't be like the world. It says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You want to be like God? Then act like Him. Show it. People will know that you're of the Lord because you are different. Because we are transformed, no longer conformed to this world, but transformed in the mind of the Lord. Again, we take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. So every first day of the week is an opportunity to examine yourself. Every morning that we're able to get out of bed is a day to set aside time to ask, what am I going to do today and why am I doing it? Every night that we go to bed is an opportunity to pray to God and ask the Lord, why did I go down this way? Please help me to make the right decisions and examine our hearts, our actions, our decisions, the words we said. Because we want to make sure we have a home in heaven. Because if we keep on pushing it off and we don't take the time aside to do so, then it might end up being too late when you try to find that time. If you're here and you know where you stand, you know that you are not yet saved because you have not yet been baptized, you haven't repented of your sins, you haven't confessed your faith, you can do that today. You can say that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can make acknowledgement to say, I'm going to put sin behind me and follow the Lord and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you've been baptized and you know where you stand, if you've been following faithfully in the footsteps of Christ, or if you have fallen, if you struggled, if Satan's been hitting you hard and you need prayers of congregation, or you need to just come forward and let it know, I slipped. And I want to be known so that you can hold me accountable to ask me next week if I slipped again, so that I can have that on my shoulders to say, I'm going to be faithful this week because someone might ask me, hey, how'd you do this week? Knowing that someone else knows your sin, knows your temptation, your struggle, is not a matter of us looking down on you, but asking people to be there for you, to hold you accountable, to help you overcome those temptations. So if there's anything we can do for you, will you let it be known as we stand and sing?
Who at the door is standing?